My name's Diane Garrett. I am president and CEO of Hycroft Mining. Hycroft has the world-class, large-scale gold and silver project in Nevada, USA, and it's got a long history of heap leach operations. We are currently transitioning it to the next phase of milling the sulfide ore, and very recently, we've had a significant high-grade underground discovery, which is very exciting for our shareholders and potential new investors.
Diane, thank you very much for joining us. I know you've been on the road for a while, but you're over there at Zurich at the moment. What's the mood like?
The mood here is very bullish. We are hearing some wonderful keynote speakers by some very top talent in the commodity space saying that the prediction is that commodities are going to continue to rise. They're speculating gold at $2,500 to $3,000 and not too distant future. But commodities overall, including copper and all of that, will be very good just because of the demand pent up. We're talking about a lot of central bank buying, so the mood has been extremely bullish here.
Fantastic to hear. And gold 3,000 at last, eh? Let's talk about, you've been on this roadshow across Europe, been sort of talking to your investors and presumably new investors too. What are they asking? What do they feel they need to know from you?
So when we had this underground high-grade discovery at Hycroft, it was a premise of how we approached Hycroft, which is very much like our former company, Remarco, where we came into a project that had been a low-grade heap leach operation and turned it into one of the largest, highest-grade discoveries that our industry had seen in nearly a decade. And it propelled our shares from a market cap of $20 million to over $1.3 billion, and then we were subsequently acquired. We had, at that time, large institutional blue-chip long value investors in the precious metal space. And we are meeting with them again on the back of having duplicated that same premise that we did at Remarco here at Hycroft. So Hycroft is one of the world's largest gold and silver systems, but it's low grade. And we've always believed there was more to Hycroft than just a low grade deposit. And last November, we had a significant high grade discovery. So they're very interested in learning more about that. And you know, looking and talking about an entry point into the company, because they also believe that they need to be invested in good projects with good management and in the right jurisdictions for the next wave commodity cycle.
Right. Okay. So obviously you're good for cash in terms of getting optionality about how you come about this. Now, you've mentioned one of the activities that you're focused on now, which is sort of chasing some higher grade silver, which can perhaps change the economics. But we'll talk about that in a second. Let's remind people what you've got. It is low grade. So we're talking about the need for efficient engineering and processing. So do the current investors understand that and the fact that it works? Do the new conversations that you're having, do they need to be educated about that? And if so, what are you saying?
So I think what you have with any company when you have a low-grade asset is, you know, your margins are not as robust as obviously if you have higher grade. Also, you know, we've got over 10 million ounces of gold and over 500 million ounces of silver in the existing resource, and is still open and can grow much larger. But at less than half a gram, it means that you need economies of scale. So you're talking about a plant that's upwards of 50, 60,000 tons a day. We can still process the ore and have good recoveries, but at those types of throughput rates, it's significantly high capital. And that is a bit of a challenge. And the, you know, notwithstanding the fact that we've got high, you know, all-time highs on gold and silver prices, but the fact that, you know, we're not seeing still a lot of money flowing into the sector. And therefore, the challenge of a single asset company raising that high amount of capital to build that plant. So what has been particularly, so the market understands that, and we're finalizing the feasibility studies. But with this high grade underground discovery, it now opens up an opportunity to build a smaller plant, lower capital, much lower capital, better economics, which means better cash flow up front, which means better return for our shareholders. And so that has really become the focus of a lot of the conversations we're having right now.
Right. And we've seen that a lot. So large projects where people have looked at a sort of phased or staged approach to kind of reduce the capex. One yesterday went from 1.2 billion down to, you know, 300 million capex, because it gets them, you know, it shows a route to market, it shows a process has started. It's less efficient, but it gets the ball rolling, as it were. Can you, when do these economic studies or revised economic studies, you know, when will they come out? Because I know you're doing a sort of drill program now, you know, chasing this high grade silver that you sort of tapped into. How does that sort of information flow into the market with regards to the economics? What are you expecting?
We are sort of on a dual track right now. Before we had this high grade discovery, which is just November of last year, so not that long ago, and we're still drilling it to define it better. But we had been on the path of a pre-feasibility study on the large resource. So that will still come out sometime in the second half of this year. We're finalizing the trade-off studies and finalizing the actual design of the flow sheet. So that information will still come out to the market. We will also have continued drill news on this high-grade underground. And once we finish this drill program, we would like to then generate a resource on the underground and then some preliminary assessment of what an underground starter mine would look like. And that we would hope to get out towards the end of the year as well. So this underground is new and certainly needs a little bit more work on the drilling. But we're seeing that this system is over 1,300 meters in strike in each direction. It's open, and it's open at depth. And we'll continue to do that work and then update some preliminary assessment towards the end of the year.
Right. So you feel you've got time here? Because I think as an ex-banker, I'd be looking to sort of see what the market's doing. I want to see sustained gold prices, trying to understand where the bottom is before I could enter into some conversation around financing. Do you reckon that something like this, the type of financing, the type of structure of the financing will be any different to what it was kind of pre-COVID days, in terms of the, you know, in terms of the security, in terms of the assurances that banks or funders will be looking for?
I think given that it's in the United States and that we're already permitted for heap leach and milling, and that Hycroft has a long successful history dating back to the 1980s of open pit heap leach operations, that our team has a very good track record of not only discovering projects, but constructing them and operating them. So I think the additional terms, I mean, I hear exactly what you're saying, because market conditions and sentiment and potential other issues with other projects certainly all factor in to the risk analysis that project lenders, you know, have to assess before they invest. But I think there's a number of positives with Hycroft and the location and its history being a brownfields project and already having permits in hand, that we're not anticipating, you know, any sort of onerous terms outside of, I think it'll be traditional, typical project financing, even similar to pre-COVID. You know, it depends. If we're seeing ourselves in a continued rising inflationary environment, then there may be some additional contingencies and buffers addressed, just to make sure they've accounted for increases in cost, because that's been a big factor for a lot of projects, not only those that are in development, but those that are actually in operations today.
Well, Dusty, tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, etc. You talk about having the right people, the right experience, and mine builders. So who's on the team?
So we have our chief financial officer, Stan Rideout, who was formerly Phelps Dodge and also was with our team at Remarco. I think it's important to note that a lot of our team that had the big discovery at Remarco have joined Hycroft Mining as well. Our vice president of exploration is Alex Davidson. He has a long history with Rio Tinto, Hecla, Newmont, and he came to us almost 2 years ago from Nevada Gold Mines, which is the joint venture for Barrick and Newmont. He was on the Newmont side, and he's an underground exploration geologist, so that is great for us with this underground discovery. We have Sean Stenson, who is our chief mine planner, Scott McDaniel. This will be his 14th startup project. He heads all our technical studies. So we've got a significant technical team on site. And what I always say, because I used to be a fund manager when I started out in the business with U.S. Global Investors, is that it's really about the people at the end of the day, because that is the only asset you're investing in when you're in this development stage. And as a former fund manager, we always said, you know, good management will make more money with a bad mind than bad management with a good mind. And so we invest in our people. We bring all the technical team in up front. And my background is mining engineering and mineral economics, but I hire people a lot smarter than me to design and build these things. And, you know, it's really about the people. We're very passionate. We're very shareholder focused. And it's a great, strong team with an outstanding culture and excellent safety record. We want to attract people that know that they're going to go home safe to their families every day.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about, you mentioned you got the, you know, permits in place, et cetera. U.S. has always been cited as a great place for mining businesses. Again, ESG, current kind of sort of anti-mining sentiment, government speak versus government do. Are you being enabled by government to actually, you know, get on with the business of mining, or has it got tougher?
I think the U.S. by and large has been more difficult to develop projects and permit them than almost any other jurisdiction. The regulatory hurdles, for some reason, we don't seem to have the support and the understanding and the knowledge that we need to, you know, hold companies accountable and provide for rigorous regulations, but also to streamline the efficiencies of the process so that we can be producing and generating our own minerals that are so much needed for our economy, for our defense, you know, for everything, and make us competitive on the global stage. So it's not unusual in the U.S. if you're starting from a greenfields project to go, you know, 7, 10 plus years in the permitting cycle. So that's a big advantage for us right now, having those permits in place and having been a project before. We do see in Nevada that, you know, gambling is the number one revenue source, but followed very, very closely by mining. So it's a state that understands mining. It's a very fundamental part of their economy. And while there are very strict regulations, it's also very prescriptive. So we have found, you know, the regulators wonderful to work with. But of course, we do our job as well. And we are, you know, maintaining our compliance. We get great ratings on our inspections. And I think building those relationships is what is key. And we are, you know, it's a great jurisdiction to be in from our perspective, particularly Nevada.
Right. Okay. And so we're having a quick romp through this because I know you've got places to be in. You're at a conference and, you know, back to back. So I'm not going to spend too long on each topic this time around, but hopefully you'll come back on and give us a bit more detail. With regards to the share register, the kind of corporate component here, it's obviously heavily skewed towards retail, as it would be of a company of your size. But you're talking the game, and you're employing the people of, you know, a much, much bigger player here. So what's it going to take to kind of change that register around to being a little bit more institutionalized over the next couple of years? What do they need to hear from you?
All right. I'm glad you asked the question. We do have a heavy retail investor base, and we love our retail because it certainly generates a lot of trading liquidity, and they're very, very long-term supporters of ours. The two main institutions we have in right now are AMC Entertainment, which is the movie theater company, which is a bit unusual for a mining company, and then Eric Sprott, who's the quintessential precious metals investor, and he personally invested $25 million. Very bullish silver bug, as you well know. Ed Remarco, at both of our former companies, we always had all of the blue chip, large institutional shareholders invested in the company for well over a decade. And those are the ones that we're meeting with and targeting now. They would like exposure to Hycroft. Certainly, when you're looking at rising commodity prices, you're looking at the number one jurisdiction, the project's been de-risked. You know, we've got a history and a track record of making them a lot of money. But the challenge we have at the moment is there's a lot of debt on the balance sheet. So we have $57 million in cash, but we have about $115 million in debt. And we are looking on a way at a way now to bring in those institutional shareholders as we address the debt. Their one gating event is not the asset. It's not the team. And they're certainly very excited about this high grade, but it's being behind debt. We inherited this debt when we took over the management, and no development company should ever have debt on their balance sheet that's not cash flowing, and we would not have done it. And we are very focused at the current moment of addressing that debt, and I think that's going to be the real catalyst for the company. Number one, it's going to lift the overhang off the stock, and we would be refreshing our shareholder base at the same time.
Okay, okay. And you asked me one day about how the AMC came to be investors in this, because when I read about it originally, I think most people were kind of surprised, but intrigued.
Yeah.
Intrigued is a better word.
Well, I think they were surprised and very confused also. Look, we had become a meme stock, and there was a short squeeze. We had a pretty large short position on the company, and Hycroft got caught up in that. I have Adam Aaron, the CEO of AMC, and I have a mutual contact that said, you know, I need to introduce you to Adam when he became a meme stock. And Adam has been very successful in the way he is engaged with that audience. And Adam looked at, you know, our company and recognized that, you know, we were just suffering from a liquidity issue, but the underlying value of this asset was there, and he became interested in investing, and sort of the rest is history. Eric Sprott, I reached out to him and made contact between him and Adam, and, you know, they co-invested at the same time. And then that allowed us to raise additional funding through our ATM, and we now have a very robust retail shareholder base because of it, who we love dearly. And we're committed to generating good value. I mean, we were at a time when the mining sector did not have money to deploy, and they weren't investing in anything. And so this was an opportunity that came along on the back of being a meme stock that we capitalized on, and it's been spectacular, because in the absence of that, we wouldn't have had the money to continue drilling and finding this high-grade discovery, which truly is a game changer for Hycroft. No doubt about it.
Well, you continue drilling or continue full stop, I guess. I think the name of the game for the last 3 years for precious metal companies is to, you know, stay in the game. So, you know, you've done that. So if you don't mind, then let's stick with it. With the debt component, you're going to need to be able to show or persuade the market that with the cash that you've got available, that you're going to be able to kind of rip past, you know, various hurdles, you know, one being obviously, you know, the market cap, share price, and that kind of whole kind of growth component that companies need to persuade investors about. So therefore, I get the chasing the high grade silver, which can be a game changer. Is that the focus? Is that the only lever available to you in terms of that growth component?
I don't think so, because, you know, we have this high-grade silver discovery underground. This is predominantly a gold system. And what we know about these epithermal systems is the gold drops out first. So the gold, the high-grade gold feeder should be sitting below, somewhere below the silver. So we do want to do some deeper drilling to identify that. So that's a lever. But outside of Hycroft itself, you know, we have been actively looking at M&A opportunities. One of the big levers for Hycroft is we are looking at roasting now. Roasting would, because of our sulfur content, would generate a significant amount of sulfuric acid every year. Sulfuric acid is required to produce lithium, and we have 5 lithium mines in Nevada. So we've already been contacted by lithium companies to purchase our sulfuric acid, because right now they're having to transport in elemental sulfur and generate their own sulfuric acid on site. And that has been very cost ineffective. It's very expensive to transport that in. So this is another major revenue source for the project by generating sulfuric acid. And look, Hycroft is a massive, massive system of metal, and it certainly lends itself well to partnerships and strategic investors. For silver companies, they're needing to go to Mexico and South America to look for growth profiles. And now with this high-grade underground silver discovery, you know, sitting in the U.S., because most mines in Nevada, with the exception of the Rochester mine that's operated by Coeur, you know, they're gold projects. And now this is opening up an opportunity for those as well. So we think there's a lot to come as levers, if you will, on the optionality. You get the optionality of the large low grade. You get the optionality of, you know, a offtake agreement, an economic benefit from the sulfuric acid to the lithium industry. We have silver, which plays well into the solar industry. And then it's certainly a large enough asset that, you know, companies that are depleting reserves could be very interested.
Right. Okay. Well, look, Dan, again, conscious of time. That's kind of interesting in terms of the cash is giving you the optionality to maybe explore and look at some of those levers. I'll be interested to see how, you know, how all that plays out. Just finish, if you don't mind, just remind people what they've got to look forward to this year from you. What are the kind of major moments for you?
Great. Well, we have a lot of news flow coming up. So continued drill results, more development of this high-grade underground, pre-feasibility studies out on the operation and the associated economics with that. And then later in the year, an assessment of whether we will be able to target this underground as the starter area of the Hycroft mine and economics on that as well. So be a very busy year of news flow.